Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
Well, praise the Lord. It's a quiet morning in Louisiana. I didn't even know that anybody would talk about, you know, I never usually talk about sports, so we're not going to do that today. I was a little bitter last week, and I think my point was taken care of Saturday night in Arkansas. Be thankful. Like I said, you didn't have to play the starting quarterback. You can all sit back and go, you were right. Because we put a drumming on Ole Miss, and they weren't exactly a minor league team. They were ranked 13th or 14th in the nation, and it was over at halftime. Looked like more of what you guys were playing, UAB or UT or whatever that school is you guys played and are bragging about. Okay. That makes you feel good. So you got to tip your hat, because I've been trying to get some of these LSU fans to admit to me, and I'm having fun. If we would have had our starting quarterback last Saturday, things would have been different. Some of them are admitting it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Some of you are smiling because you know how close that game was with a backup that could not throw. And you still were barely pulling out of there. And so, you know, the announcers at the game, if you would have saw that game, it's so stupid. But the announcers at half, they were so bored with that game because they made Ole Miss look so silly that the announcers were actually hanging out in the stands. They were talking about their shoes. If you would have saw, you'd have been laughing. You would have think they were playing UNAB. But it was that funny. And the announcer said, do you think Arkansas is mad about what happened against LSU last week? Because that's what the announcer was saying. Is that why they're hitting Ole Miss so hard? It was pretty funny. Where else can you talk about football except for Louisiana? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Who needs a blessing or a miracle from God in this place? Hold up one hand across this building. Sports are fun, they're entertaining, but what bothers me is people put things like that before God. And there's nothing more important than God. Me and Pastor were up here yesterday in the rain and the cold, preparing, trying, and we're happy all of our guests are here. And I'm thankful for that. I also want to say that, you know what, I had such an impact on some of our guests, and one of our guests said, well, I missed you this morning, you didn't even come get me, and they missed me. I thought, see, I'm that special to some people. I knew it. You knew it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Amen. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself ransom for all to testify in due time, whereof I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, speak the truth in Christ, and lie not a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and validity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere in holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to speak for just a few moments this morning. You can't have a what without the why. You can't have a what without the why. Now, everything's real quiet right now. I put a challenge before you to worship the Lord in the remainder of this service, because the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching to save souls. He chose that. Music is good, and we love music, but it's the foolishness of preaching that really changes people's lives. So I put a challenge, because you only have one service on Sunday, to worship the Lord this morning and let God do. Who needs God to answer a prayer in your life this morning? Hold up one hand across this place. You need God to answer some kind of prayer in your life. Hold up one hand. If you do, let's just lift our hands across this building. Lord, I give you praise and glory for what you've done, what you're about to do. I thank you for the healing, the deliverance, the presence of God that's in this place. Lord, touch every guest, every member that's walked inside of this building. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Amen, amen. It's good to see y'all in this cold, dreary Wisconsin. It feels like Wisconsin. Louisiana day. Y'all have a smile on your face, and you're happy to be in the house of the Lord. God got a hold of Joseph while he was amongst his brethren, sitting in a crowd, shows him a dream that he's going to rise to a position of power. He shares it with his brethren, and they see the position, but they do not see the mission at hand. If they would have seen the mission, they would not have tried to kill him. Before I go any further, I wonder why a lot of people don't want to serve God or put him a priority. Because they don't see the mission. They're more concerned about the position of this world than the mission of eternal salvation. If they would have seen the mission, they would have not tried to kill him, because he had a dream that they would one day bow to him. They hated him over the position. They hated him, and they had no interest in the mission. Understand, some people are so focused on position. They're so focused on this life. They're so focused on what I don't want to do, what I can't do. It's too hard to serve God. It's too hard to go to church. It's too hard to live that way. But you know what? You look at the world around you and how messed up it is, and gunshots and drugs and alcohol. You say, well, I'm not doing drugs and alcohol. No, but that affects people's lives, and car accidents and depression and anxiety. That's what the world has to offer. We got more churches on every corner, but yet we got more people messed up because they're saying, well, this church must not be doing their job. I can't speak for other churches, but I can't speak for human nature, that a lot of people are so focused on position. They're so focused on this life. I'll serve you, God, as long as don't interfere with this, interfere with that, or if I don't have to change this. And they lose sight of the mission, which is eternal salvation, a place of no more pain, no more sorrows, no more hurting, a place that you're going to go when they bury you 6 foot under. If you're praying to God to change your position, he will never understand what you're talking about. Because we're up here and you're down there, and God knows position means nothing if you don't understand the mission. Now, if you understand the mission, God will change your position to accomplish the mission. Why should he bless me if I don't want to change anything? Touch my finances, heal my body, strengthen me, deliver me, so I could do what? Go do what I've always done. I had a lady ask me, she said, well, why don't people want to live for God? We get live in a society. She's a pastor of a different kind of church, a PAW church in Metro St. Louis. I did outreach for her. And she's the pastor. And she asked me, said, why don't people want to live for God anymore? I said, you know what? Because I said, are you preaching the word? She said, well, with all the stuff going on in the world. I said, stop talking about the stuff going on in the world. You're not going to change racism. You're not going to change addictions. You're not going to be a social justice warrior and change people's lives. Because without God and apostolic Holy Ghost filled revival, sin is sin, and people will do bad things. Sin promotes hatred, it promotes division, and it promotes anger. But when you come in the house of the Lord and get focused on the mission and preach Acts 2:38, preach repentance, preach baptism in Jesus' name, preach the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, I won't look at you by your skin. I won't look at you for your past. I won't look at you for where you come from, but I'll lift up my hands and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Anytime God brings you from something you didn't have to do something, you have to always beware that God did it and he's got a mission. Don't get so high off your position, because pride cometh before a fall, and you will lose it all in the position and lose sight of the mission. It's the mission that brings you back to the position. Walked in that lady's church. She said it used to be a revival, Holy Ghost filled apostolic church. You walked in that place and you could hear a pin drop. But as I look at her and I went to her social page, I saw nothing, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm not saying where this was or who she was, but pictures of herself promoting where she speaks, and look at me, and look at me. And she's an older lady in her nice outfits, and she's an attractive for an older lady. I don't mean that disrespectful, but it was always about where she, what she was doing, and so people could give her likes and post. And she asked me my opinion, and she's at least 25 years older than me. And I said, Pastor, and I'm not going to say her name, I said, listen to me. I said, you got to get back to the mission. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean your position is higher. We don't need preachers to get up and talk about the problems of the world and what we can do to fix. We're never going to fix them. We need to raise up a generation that said, the world may be getting darker, but I'm not going to get darker with it. The world may be getting messier, but I'm not getting messier with it. I want to raise my kids to worship. I want to raise my kids to pray. I want to raise my kids. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or somewhere in between. I want to raise them to worship the healer, the deliverer, the miracle worker. I want them to know who God is. I felt burdened to preach this. It's the mission that brings us to the position. He shows Joseph a dream, and in the dream, his brothers are bowing before him. And Joseph, in his immaturity, shares his position with his brethren. Don't allow your immaturity to mismanage your opportunity. When God begins to bless you, don't think you're better than anybody else. Did you hear me? I'll say it again. When God begins to bless you. Valerie, we were talking about that on outreach, and I know I didn't say your name. That is your name, right? I got it right? How about that, Valerie? Me and you had this conversation in outreach, how God has blessed you and where you've come from and what you were raised in and how you become where you become. But I said, Valerie, one thing that me and you had this conversation, it's not a skin thing, it's an economic thing. And when God blesses you and brings you out of something, don't forget where you came from and think that you're too good to go back and tell them what the Lord did. Because Valerie, it's by the grace of God that me and you have been blessed, healed, revived, and delivered. We can never forget what God's done to us. If it wasn't for the goodness of Jesus, we may be dead. I may have been shot myself. I may have overdosed on drugs. But by the grace and mercy of God, I got my eyes on the mission. More souls, more deliverance, more miracles, more lives. We need revival in this hour. Those that think that they don't need God or they just want a little bit of God. I was walked into a place, and I'm in a hurry. I'm just fired up this morning, and I'll keep going. But I walked, and I was doing outreach in Shreveport. Now I'm just doing outreach, and I walk into a Popeye. I love Popeye's chicken. Come on. Everybody loves them some Popeyes. Some of you haven't smiled or starting to smile a little bit. Well, I might smile a little bit. I won't smile too much in church. I want to look like I'm mad at everybody. But I walked in, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not going to get into detail, but I felt like I walked into Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read between the lines. And I said, God, I'm out here. I've been knocking doors, reaching, and there's so much mess in this world. You know what? So much, and I'm not going to get into all that. But I walked in and said, God, what's it going to take to have revival? What will it take to have apostolic revival? And there was all of this stuff going on with all the political mess, even before the COVID started, you know. And I'm walking in, I said, I don't care about any of that, God. I just want revival. I don't care if Daryl's our president. I just want revival. I don't care if our president is green, blue, or somewhere in between. Now, some of you are getting all tight enough. Stop it. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care if you get offended. I don't care. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want apostolic revival. I walked in a man's office before COVID broke out, a pastor, and he was talking about presidency. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care. I hope America continues to go down. And he said, why would you say that? I said, because I would rather see more souls saved and going to heaven than having a bunch of people with a fat bank account and lost for eternity because they died at the age of 50 of cancer. I never thought I would see it, but it wasn't a week after I walked into that Popeyes, because that was in March. In a week, kids were getting off buses, and the world literally shut down. And the world, not America, the world shut down because of COVID-19. And I thought, Lord, people, don't you forget how quick things can go bad and your world can be turned upside down and you lose brothers and sisters. Just because you lived through that don't mean you're going to live through the next. Life is short, so stop getting caught up in your position and who you are and stay focused on the mission. If we go through hell again, I'm still going to praise you. I don't want to die lost, but I want to walk in the house of the Lord and say the joy of the Lord is my strength when I think of the goodness of Jesus. God has given you every talent, every resource, every door, every favor, every dollar you have ever made. Without him, you would not survive, because he was interested in you being important. He'd given it to you because he wants to trust you with a mission. God is concerned about the mission this morning. He needs somebody to represent people who would never get there. And he'll move you up if you never lose sight of the mission. This is why I do outreach. Not because I want to make a name. I don't care. A lot of people will never bring a person to church. They're never going to tell people about God. They'll take them to the club. They'll show them sights that are worldly. They'll do everything else but show them how good God is. And my God is, if I can take one lady like Jacqueline, who's been through hell in her life, has had how many strokes? 14 strokes, you said, or something like that? 12 strokes? 12 strokes, 44 years old. And I'm not being mean. She'll tell you this herself. Because of the decision she made when she was younger. And she could say, well, I was having fun with friends, getting high, smoking some weed. I got a hold of some bad weed. And all of a sudden, it's affected my health. That's the position of the world. But what Jacqueline can do is walk in the house of the Lord and say, yeah, I may have made some mistakes, but instead of continuing the route that I was on, I got my eyes on the mission. Devil, you can attack my body, but you can't take my soul. I'm still alive. So while I'm here, Jacqueline, I'm going to lift up my hands and I'm going to praise and worship my God with everything that I got while I'm still here. While I'm still here. I had a whole mission, Pastor, one time. Can I have about 10, 12, 15 minutes? Because I know there ain't nothing on that you want to see today. I know. It's 11 o'clock and all that stuff doesn't matter anyhow. I had a mission. You ain't going to have a picnic either because it's like 20 degrees out. I had a mission. Pastor asked me to pray for his church. He said, I want it to grow. I said, well, why do you want your church to grow? He said, he couldn't give me a decent answer. I said, until you can answer the why, you will never get the what of it. The truth of it is, he wanted more people so he could look good amongst his peers. To me, that's position. See, some of you say, well, I'm going to pick on preachers because everybody likes to pick on preachers. They're the easiest target. But nobody will pick on anybody else but preachers. But everybody in the world, you ain't no better either. We all have that human nature inside of us. God is not going to feed your insecurities by giving you validation that has no mission. Does what you're praying for have a why, or is it just a what? I used to pray all the time. Why do I want it? More people for what? More fame for what? Do you know why do you want it? Just to feel good? Because I used to pray all the time, Lord, open up more doors to preach. I used to pray that. It used to be my prayer when I was a younger evangelist. And I'd pray, Lord, open more doors. And the Lord finally said, why do you want that? I said, well, because. So I can help more people. Why? So you can get in front of bigger churches and be more famous. Is that what you want? Well, no. Well, then what benefit is it to me to open up more doors for you to preach? I'm talking to myself. Well, I want to be able to take care of my family. Do what? That's not benefit. That's all fleshly stuff. So what is? How does it benefit me? Are you going to pray more? Are you going to worship more? And what the Lord spoke to me and showed me, he said, you're going to have to become a soul winner. And I started winning souls for years, and nobody knew who I was. He could tell you. I'm going to tell you. I've been out winning souls for years. He didn't know who I was, never heard of me. Knocking doors, bringing people to church, having 56 soul revivals. Doors weren't opening. I was going to the same churches that I necessarily didn't like that much, and I was going to them over and over again because those were the only ones inviting me. And I would say, but God, I'm winning all these souls. And he said, yep, and keep on winning them. When you get on the mission, just because God doesn't fatten your paycheck in a month or a year, just because God doesn't heal your body in 6 months, just because God doesn't give you the blessings you deserve, it doesn't mean you quit doing what you're doing. Otherwise, it's about position. When you get on the mission, you say, if I still struggle, I'm going to praise the name of Jesus. If I still battle hell, I'm going to praise the name of Jesus. If I go through an attack, I'm still going to lift up my hands and give him glory, for he is God. When God has a plan for your life, he will maneuver it. Joseph saw all these great things happen. This is why I don't like brother that stood up. I hope you're still with me, the one he was fired up back there. I don't like prosperity preachers. I wasn't raised in church. I was not raised anywhere around God. I was raised in witchcraft. A lot of you already know that. I'm not going to get into it, but that's how I was raised. So I know what the other side is. I know what demonic music is when I hear it. I know a lot of our musicians are demonic. I know a lot of church people go home and they get involved and they listen to the music. They hang around those things. They go to these concerts and they're demonic and they wonder why their lives are messed up and they can walk in church and they can fold their arms and never feel God and go, well, I don't want to go back to that church because I preach too hard. But yet they'll go to a concert that'll take their money, promote demonic spirits, and their anti-God. Just a thought. But I'm just saying, I'm here to tell you, Joseph saw up and he went down. He saw his brothers bowing before him, but when God started maneuvering him, his brothers were up and Joseph was in a pit. So the maneuver looked just the opposite of the dream, because God showed him that he'd be up here and his brothers would be down here. But when God started maneuvering him, he shows him the destination during the process. It will shift you. Though you were going to go up, your first test is you can survive going down. If I'm God, let me just say this simple. Too many people, this is, you know what, I don't get it. I'm not going to say where, when, or how, but I met this lady. She was, her husband was a minister in the church, and she kept getting on to him behind the scenes. Oh, we got to go to church all the time. Oh, we got to, why can't we do this? And when she started just nagging about everything, we come to church. And he came to me, and I told him, he told me, I said, what does she want you to do? Does she want you to cheat on her? Does she want you to go get drunk and get high? Does she want a broken home? Does she want to be a single mother? What does she want? So, because you know what? Serving God can sometimes have to walk away from some things in the world. But look at how happy they are in the world. Go door knocking with me for a while. Go knock on a woman's door that's raising four kids by four different dads by herself. Go out there and knock doors with me and meet a guy that's battling depression and anxiety because his wife left him because she's for another man. Go out there and see what the world has to offer. Yeah, it's real fun for about 5 hours. But you're going to pay for your fun, because the devil don't give nothing for free. I come from that world. You will pay for it. So, honey, living for God is always not a bed of roses. Sometimes you go down before you go up. Sometimes you fight depression. Sometimes you'll be sick in your body. Sometimes you'll fight battles in your home. But you got to learn to lift up your hand and say, Lord, I'm on a mission, but the joy of the Lord is still my strength. If I'm God in the palace, then I'll be God in the pit. But till you can praise me in the pit, don't expect to be lifted up in the palace. Because everything happened backward to what you planned, Joseph. Before you praise God on top, you got to learn to praise him in the valley. I mean, I put myself through 4 years of Bible school. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Four beautiful, gorgeous, excellent, exuberant, annoying at times, weird people, super strict conservative people that thought I was too liberal. I'm just telling you the negative sides. But then there were other people that loved me. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I was the kind of guy who would run up and down the guys' hallway, and I'm not trying to be graphic, but I ran up down the hallway in my shorts and my tank top. I was the kind of guy, I'm just being honest, I'm not trying to be graphic. I was the kind of guy that this one guy who was an ex-gangster thought he, in a Mexican gang, because that's what it was, M-180s, he got saved and got the Holy Ghost. He thought he could pull me aside one day and said, hey, I used to beat up on people like you. That's the word. I dealt with that customer when I got church. Of course, three or four times of that with him, and my flesh got the best of me. And we met in the back room, and I said, "You ain't got no knives, and you ain't got no guns, so it's man against man. Let's see how we roll." I'm from St. Louis, baby. I ain't scared of you because you formed a gang. I was raised around gang members. He looked at me and said, "You're a crazy white man." I said, "Yeah, I am a crazy white man. I'm gonna hurt you if you don't shut up." But that's the fleshly side that I fought. Because sometimes living for God is in a pit. We make mistakes. We should say things we shouldn't. We do things sometimes we shouldn't. And we're wondering, where are you, God? Because God said, I want to see if you can handle the situations, the down times, before I give you the up times. Will you worship me when somebody threatens you? Will you praise me when you have to put yourself through 4 years of Bible school? Will you praise me when you go to crazy, weird churches that I would preach at? Where the preacher one time, he took magic with the yellow marker because he was so strict, sister, that he didn't want any gold and like this. And he would literally start coloring it in black. And I'm looking at him saying, what in God's green earth are you doing? You're ruining your shoes. He said, well, I'm holy. I thought, oh, that's weird. But I said, God, why do you got me in these kind of churches? Because sometimes God will take you to the pit before he can show you the palace. You're going to be around some weird church people sometimes. You're going to be around some over-the-top church people. But you still got to learn to walk in the house of the Lord and praise him. I'm not here for him. I'm not here for her. But I'm here to praise and worship the name of Jesus. I'm here to lift up my voice and praise him because he is God. Oh, I feel, is this all right, church? Is this all right? Oh, I don't know who you are, but happy to see you. You got a beautiful family. I noticed you all when you walked in, good-looking people. I don't mean that sound funny, but all you, nice-looking family. Do you know how hard it is to manage success? You adapt to your environment. You end up running. Let me tell you something. Joseph had to adapt to his environment. Well, the way he was raised did not prepare him for the protocol that he walked into. And shock, let me tell you something. Because you can't manage what goes along with sitting in the seat. Let me tell you something. Do you feel so uncomfortable by the opportunity that God has given you this morning that you go back to your old seat because you can't manage what's going on in your new seat? Too many people want the blessings of God, but when they start moving up spiritually, this is why some people, you'll see them and they'll pray a little bit and they'll go back to their chairs and they don't move. Or they'll start to worship and they'll get a little closer to God. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost. I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost today. And they'll move forward a little bit. I'll see church people, even new people. I'm not trying to be offensive, but they'll come a little bit. And they may even come one service and come to the altar one time. And they may even get the Holy Ghost. But then they go back to that reserved. Okay, I'm good. I'm not moving no more. I'm good. I don't need no more. And I'm thinking, you just told God that you're not going to do any more than what you're already doing. And then you want God to bless you. You expect God to raise you out of the pit and bless you in the palace, but yet you're satisfied with where you're at. And I'm not going any farther. No preacher's going to tell me how to do. Are you praying for a blessing that you can't manage then? Why would God bless you when you just told him, I'm not going any further. I've arrived and that's all I'm going to do. Because guess what? The things that made Joseph incredible, whether he was in the pit or Potiphar's house or in a prison, life couldn't throw anything at him he could not manage. He managed in the pit. That means he still came to the church when everybody was against him. He survived. He handled it. Everything was bad around him, but he didn't sit on a church chair and mope like a baby that somebody took his milk bottle. He came to the house of the Lord and praised the Lord anyhow. And guess what? They drug him like a slave, took him and sold him into Potiphar's house. This boy who had never been in the house stepped from obscurity and began to manage it. Oh, yeah? You think I'm going to be down and out? You look at me like a failure. When I get in this house, not only am I going to live in it, but I'm going to manage it. I wish somebody would walk up in this crib and say, devil, you think I'm here just to sit on the chair? Not only am I here, but I'm going to worship my way to the top of this thing. I'm not just a churchgoer at this church. I'm not just going to Bethesda Church, but I'm going to worship in Bethesda Church. I'm going to pray in Bethesda Church. I'm going to have a move of God in Bethesda Church. I'm going to allow the Holy Ghost to move in Bethesda Church. Oh, you know how hard it is to manage being in a position of power when you weren't raised like that. You don't come from that, Joseph. You don't know the protocol. You adapt to your environment. End up running all of Potiphar's businesses and affairs. Excuse me, but what university did Joseph go to? What experience did Joseph have managing a rich man's house? He had none. Joseph, I don't care what you throw at him. He will always manage it. Stop crying. Stop having a pity party. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Manage the people, the problems, your emotion. Manage your fears, your doubts, your insecurities. You're not fit to be blessed if you can't manage the process. Did you hear what I said? You are not fit to be blessed if you can't manage the process. He moved Joseph in a position ahead of time before the famine ever broke out. So that when the famine broke out amongst his family, there would be somebody in power who could mediate on their behalf. If Joseph wouldn't have gone through what he went through, he wouldn't have been able to help people when they were in need. If everything would have been handed to him, how in the world could he bless those around him? How in the world could he help those around him? Do you hear what I'm trying to tell somebody that walked in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning? God's allowing you to go through this so you can help somebody else that's going through it. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord on Sunday morning. Somebody let the enemy know. Somebody let the enemy know. I've come to praise the Lord. I come to praise the Lord. I come to give you glory for what you're about to do. So that way, let me tell you, Joseph was strategic enough and managerial enough and confident enough. He had survived enough maneuvering. Because Joseph moved into a position of power when everything was about to change. He steps into a position as the prince of Egypt and moves in this position and tells the king, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine, but don't worry about it. I know how to manage this. A lot of churches, you know, meet these people and they go to church. I'm not trying to be offensive. I wasn't raised around church. So I'm not trying to be offensive, but I don't understand these people that come to church and they're real stuffy. But yet, you know, and they're coming all colors and sizes and all shapes and sizes and colors and financial background. And they're real stuffy. Now, I know we all got different personality types, and I could get into that, and I'm not going to get into that because I don't expect everybody to be like me, because if everybody was like me, this world would be a crying mess. Because we'd all be, woo! We're going to have revival. But who's going to run this? I don't know. Who's going to do this? I don't know. Let's just go do it. Let's have church. So I get it. Everybody can't be like me. If everybody's crazy, like, I'm the out front kind of guy. I'm the guy everybody wants to put out front and do the thing. But you don't want me behind the scenes because it'll be a complete chaotic mess. I get that. But what I don't understand is we have a bunch of stuffy church people in the world that are even guests. They'll go to LSU or they'll go to anywhere else but the church. And I'm like, is that the same person I saw come to church Sunday morning? And I'm thinking, if you get 70 years of your life, you've lived a long life. Most people don't make it to 70. I'm not trying to be offensive, but most of you will not live to 70. Look around. There's very few people in this room that are 70 or above. There's a reason for that. Most people don't make it. But yet we'll put so much in the position of this world that we'll get excited about everything that's up, that's not God. But when it comes to God, we think, I'm religious, I'm good. We are so defensive about religion, and church is eternity is the one thing we know. Scientists can tell you this and that, but I told somebody, I said, let me tell you something. Until you can prove from dust we came and from dust we shall depart and bury be back into, I don't want to hear anything else from you scientists, no offense, because you haven't stuffed death. They said, well, we've been stuffing bodies and putting them in refrigerators for 100 years. Yeah, and those same bodies, including Ted Simmons, are still in the freezer and they're still stuffed and they haven't come out. And so-and-so just put their daughter in there. Yep, and she's still stuffed and she hadn't come out. Why? Because from death you came and from death you shall return, and the only thing that's going to live on is your soul. So I'm preaching to somebody, while I have breath, let me praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I may go through a valley, but I'm going to praise God. I may go through a struggle, but I'm going to praise God. I may fight hell, but I will praise the name of our... Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody let the enemy know, I've come to have a breakthrough. I've come to give God praise. Somebody let him know, he's my healer. Somebody let him know, he's my deliverer. He's my changer. He's my blesser. I did it in the pit, Joseph said. I did it in the prison. I did it. Can I have 5 minutes? I know how to survive in a famine. I had a famine of love. Hey, I can relate to that. I had a famine of love. Joseph had a famine of support. I have no family in the church. Do you know I don't have nobody? Y'all looking at me. You know, people prejudge. You know what? I had a lady. I'm not trying to be offensive. But a lady, she looked at me. She said, well, I'm going to tell a story, but you wouldn't understand what I'm going through. I said, well, why wouldn't I understand? She said, well, you just look at you. I said, well, what do you mean, just look at me? She said, well, you people, and she categorized me in as if I was part of some alien group or something. She said, you wouldn't understand what we've gone through, what I faced. So, and she's doing outreach, and when I got her away from that woman, I said, let me tell you something. You don't know me to make those kind of statements. I said, I'm going to give you something free charge. You say you're Holy Ghost filled and baptized in Jesus' name. You would never say that about anybody because you don't know their story. I said, were you raised in foster care? No. I said, do you have a living mom? She said, well, I sure do. I said, I don't care if you were raised in poverty. I wish I had a mom. I never had a mom. I never had a dad. I was raised in foster care. I got adopted when I was older by people that practiced witchcraft. It was a complete and chaotic mess most of my life. I'm just telling you where I came from. I know what it's like to walk in and feel a famine of love. I know what it's like to even walk in church and people not know how to take me because people whisper to me, I don't know, his mama's a practicing witch. He might try to put a curse. We better keep our kids away from him. I know what it's like to have a famine of support. Go up for prayer. My God, everybody, bring your family up for prayer. Family prayer night. I don't like family prayer night because I never had a family. So they have family prayer night. I guess me, myself, and I are going to go.
Well, hallelujah. I know what that's like, but I also know what it's like to know that God will allow you to go through things so that he could elevate. People tell me all the time, well, I want your anointing. You don't want my anointing because you don't want to go through the struggles that I've gone through. You wouldn't make it a day. We want everything given to me. Give me my car. Give me my job. You give me my anointing. You better stop telling God to give you something and start praising God when you don't have a job, when you don't have a car, when you can't pay your bills, when you're a single mom, when you're fighting hell, when you're battling depression, when you're going through anxiety, when you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Learn to walk up in this place and praise God because he is God.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, and I may be the only one. Do you know that people recognize you when you're down may not recognize you when you're up because you grow so much? You know how many times people I see tell me that, oh, I go to church. See, Joseph's brothers didn't recognize him, right? When he was down, everybody recognized him. See, I meet a lot of people go to church, but then they go, as soon as they go home from church, they're going to live the exact same way they lived before they went to church. Nothing changes in their lives, right? So I meet people all the time. So they can still hang out with the same kind of people and do the same kind of things because those spirits are comfortable with you. And church and Satan is happy. I come from that world. Satan doesn't mind. Demonic spirits don't mind if you go to church as long as church doesn't come into you. And it doesn't change you. And you got to understand something. You have to recognize that people will not recognize you when you're up because it does not give you a license to not recognize them when they're down. Just because they don't recognize you, when you start living for God, people will be like, I don't know who he is anymore. I don't know who she is no more. I don't know who you are, Jacqueline. I don't know who Jacqueline is anymore. You know, they might, oh my God, she's, oh man, that ain't the same woman. She's been going to church, not just going to church on Sunday, but church is coming into Jacqueline and changes are starting to happen. I don't do the talk and act the same way. Well, I don't recognize. I still recognize you. I may not want to live like you, but I'll pray for you. I'll encourage you. I'll be there for you. I'll support you, but I'm still going to go to church and live the way I live because I don't want just to be a produce. I want to be on a mission. Now, he mediates. Let me tell you something. Here's the dichotomy of all this. Not only are you helping people not recognizing you, you're helping people who are hating on you all the while you're getting there. God knows you have the kind of character that manage any resentment that would have and any function that it would have against you. He allows you to recognize this and still stay focused. Now, he is mediating on the behalf of his brothers to access food. They would not get food when they came to get food because they were starving in the famine, but they get food off of Joseph's character. It's not the corn they're eating. It's without Joseph's character, they would never have access to the corn. So his brothers come to get this food because they're hungry and they don't even recognize Joseph. But it's because of Joseph's character that they were able to access the food that Joseph has because he stood strong and now he's able to bless them. There's a lot of people that say, I'm a churchgoer, but I'm not interested in being around you, no offense, because you're about as spiritual as a tree post. The reason I got in church is because there were people that accessed food for me. They lived it. They showed it to me. They weren't going and getting, oh, well, I think you can live any way. Well, yeah, you can live any way you want. You just tell God how you do. You say, God, I went to church on Sunday and lived like the devil on Monday through Saturday. You just explain it to him and see what he has to say. But you wouldn't have won me or anybody with half a brain. The reason I got in church is because the person that witnessed to me, that talked to me about God, I was raised in witchcraft. Let me tell you something. I read the book of Satan before I ever read the Bible. I was raising up in that mess. I could tell you about it. I could creep you out. That's what I was raised in. But I was hurting. I was miserable. I was depressed. Because free love, free drugs, free everything you can want in the world only produces disease. It only produces heartbreak. It only produces depression. It only produces loneliness. Because that's not the way God intended it. He did not intend you to look for the newest and the greatest. He intended you to love when hell comes your way. Love God when you're under attack. Love God when you're depressed. Love God because he is the beginning and the end. So they're eating off Joseph's character. You know, he's giving them food. You know, they're getting fed. Let me tell you something. The reason I got in church is because there was something different about this woman. She lived for God. She stood for God.
wasn't nothing. Oh, something about, well, what about, no, it had nothing to do with physical. I didn't care nothing about her like that. It was about her. What was, I'd never seen anybody pray before. I'd never seen anybody live godly. She never cussed. I never saw, I'm just telling you what I saw. She never drank. She never smoked. She didn't go clubs. She didn't mess with guys. I'm just telling you the world I come. I'm just telling you, that's what impacted me. Not because she talked Jesus in school. Not after school, when she came around me. Not because she, well, Jesus, I wouldn't listen to that. Because I met a lot of people that talk Jesus. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you what the Church of Satan would tell about you Jesus people. I'm just going to tell you what they would tell. They'd say, yeah, the 21st century is going to be the church of the century. This, they said, it, go. You can look this up on YouTube. We were taught and raised that you people, you church people, the church, the 21st century, it's going to be you're going to look for churches. It's going to become more of a social club. It's, do you have stuff for my kids? Do you have entertainment? Do you have a good rock band group up there singing? Do you have a good social? You got some smoke going on up in there. You got the right clothes. Do they accept me for who I am? And is nobody going to be my judge but God? But really, he can't be my judge either. I'm just going to use that line. That's what I was. So we. That's what. And guess what? That's what the 21st century has become. And what's on the rise? Witchcraft. What's on the rise? Demonic presence. Who's happy? The devil. Because the church people have fallen asleep. I'm preaching to somebody. We need somebody. The reason I got in church is because somebody lived it. Somebody said, you can live off of my character. I'll pray for you when you mess up. I'll worship you for you when you struggle. I'll pick you up when hell comes your way. And I'm here to tell somebody, if you find a way to walk in the house of the Lord, I will pray for you. I will worship with you. I will encourage you. Satan, you're a liar. You're a cheater. You're a...
Oh, I feel, musicians, get in place. I'm getting ready. Don't worry. The man Christ Jesus had a mission. I'm skipping over some stuff. The man Christ Jesus was maneuvered. Christ Jesus in the flesh had to manage his own feelings. Not my will, but thine be done. The man Christ Jesus ever liveth as a mediator between the power and the problem. The man Christ Jesus lived as a mediator between the power and the problem. He walked in flesh on this earth so that he can mediate between the presence of God and the problem of earth. The Bible says that Joseph finally revealed himself to his brethren. The Bible says that Jesus revealed himself to his brethren. The whole creation is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. We're more worried. Let me tell you something. I didn't get in church because I wanted to be a preacher. Because let me tell you something. I didn't know what a preacher was. I had never known what a preacher was. I didn't know what one was. You say, how could you not? I was raised in a church. Witchcraft home. We didn't talk about God or church. I'm just telling you, I didn't know what a preacher was. I'd never seen a preacher get excited. I never seen a preacher get up and play keyboard and white tennis shoes before. Or whatever. Or I never seen a preacher get up and play the bass. I'd never seen anybody get up. Never seen any of that. The only religion I'd seen a little bit of, and I didn't pay much attention to it. No, please don't get offended if this is Catholic, but I didn't pay much attention because the people that I knew that I'm just saying my personal experience, don't get defensive, was the ones that I knew were Catholic really didn't practice it. So they were no different than me. The ones I knew, I'm not saying all, just the ones I knew. So I didn't have any dealings with religion very much. And I didn't understand it. The only time I ever saw religion, see, is when there was a scandal on TV because they're always going to make a big deal about it. You know, it's all right to live any way you want until it's a church person. And then they're going to make a big scene out of it. But I thought you said it's a way to live one. Well, the devil wants to embarrass anybody and everybody because he doesn't want a church unless they... Because, you know, even during this pandemic, who did they come after the strongest? I was just preaching in California for 2 months. Who, you know, who they came after the churches the hardest. The hardest. They came after the churches. Why? I mean, our stadium was packed down in St. Louis. The Cardinals were playing baseball. They were packing out 20,000, 50,000 people a stadium. But you turn on the news and they were talking. I was on a walking on a treadmill. And I was walking on a treadmill and you turn on the news and they're talking about a COVID outbreak at some Baptist conference in some small town. And I'm like, there's 50,000 people at this stadium today in St. Louis. You don't think COVID can spread there? How come we're not talking about that? It's because we're living in the last days. So they use this. This is what they want. And if they can put us to sleep, keep us quiet, keep us calm, keep control, because that's what the devil wants. We're the last thing connected to God before he wins. And the world thinks they're waiting on a world peace. The world thinks they're waiting on
elections are, I'm not talking politics, I'm not saying any side, I don't care. Election lines get longer than ever. Just had the midterm election and people just filing in. They're looking for world peace. They're looking for happiness. If it ain't this, well, I mean, last time I'm not, the election 2 years ago, everybody was so excited about this president. 2 years later, they're all hating him again. It's like, and then we'll get the next one and they'll hate. Nobody's happy. I don't care who you vote for. Nobody's happy. Because they're not happy because they're unhappy with themselves. Because people are miserable because people are looking for world peace. We're looking for no racism. We're looking for everybody to get along. We're looking for everybody to get a job. We're looking for everybody. That's not going to happen. Go to Haiti. Go to third world countries. It's never going to happen. The Bible says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what I asked my mom, who's a practicing witch? You know what I asked her? I said, Mom, if witchcraft is so powerful, how come every country that's dominated by witchcraft becomes a third world country? A lot of African countries are dominated by witchcraft, third world countries. Haiti, where my friend's a missionary, third world country. You want to debate me? I'll go. Keep going. Every country that has taken over. What's America slowly becoming dominated by witchcraft? We're going down fast. Why? Because the devil will show you, I got so much power. If you got so much power, then why is everything a mess? Because you don't. You give people something for a season. The man Christ Jesus. Do you understand something? Sons of God, you know why the world is in trouble right now? They're waiting on the manifestation of the church. But the church is so busy having a pity party that we never show them the power of being the sons of God. I'm not interested in politics. I'm just telling you how it is in the world. I'm trying to understand, tell you, and don't get, that's how the world operates. They're looking for something. And they're looking for all these people to get along. It's never going to happen. All you can do is win somebody to the Lord. I had to make a decision. Was I going to serve God or continue to serve what I was going to serve? Does it mean the world's gotten better? No, the world's gotten worse. But what has happened is my life has gotten a lot better. Because when you bury me and walk me up in a casket 6 feet under, I'm not going to, I don't want you to talk about how I play golf or how I love the LSU or Arkansas, or how I loved the Arizona Cardinals, or how I loved everybody no matter what skin color they were. I don't want you to tell everybody how great of a soul winner I was and how I brought all these people and invited them to church. That's all great. I want you to talk about how this man loved God and he was a praiser and he was a worshiper and he wasn't the same name. He wasn't ashamed of the name. I want you to talk about how I walked in the devil's camp and I said, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed to be a worshiper, a praiser. I want the world to know I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking child of God. I want the world to know.
Oh, is this all right, church? I'm done. That's why I don't understand these preachers that want to debate. Well, should you wear black shoes, white shoes, green shoes? Is that acceptable to wear in church? Is this acceptable to wear in church? I really don't care. I don't care if you got brown boots on and shorts and a tank top. I don't care. I don't care that you got a sweater on and shorts, even though I think you're freezing. I don't care. You want to wear a suit jacket? Fine. You want to wear a beard? I'm not. I don't care if this gets all over the. I don't care. My goal is to bring people to church that want lives changed. I'm not going to fight this or fight that. I just want to tell them about a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking God, child of God, that when I walk up to people, they can be healed, they can be delivered, they can be revived. I just want people to know there's a God that cares, that loves, that understands what they're facing.
What does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. I'm done preaching.
Well, preachers want to sit around and argue about what they don't believe, whilst church people want to sit around and argue about what they do and don't believe. I don't have time for debates. I'll tell you what I know is for real. And I'm going to shut up right here. You know what I know is for real? I know baptizing in Jesus' name is for real. Because when I got baptized in Jesus' name, it washed my sins away and gave me a fresh start with God. And people want to argue baptism. Well, I was baptized when I was 12, I was 14. Who cares? Be safe, then sorry. Don't do it again. It ain't going to hurt you. It'll wash your past away. Well, I'm good. Honey, you walk into, I mean, you know what? You walked into Walmart. This is how goofy that sounds. Well, I was baptized as a kid. I had a lady walk up into Walmart, and I was invited to church. She had her mask on during, you know, whatever. I said, yeah, I'm invited to church. She said, I can't go to church. I said, why? She said, oh, COVID. I looked at her, and I stopped her. I said, are you serious? She said, yeah. I said, COVID's bad, right? Yeah. I said, you realize this is Walmart here, right?
I said, do you realize how many people have walked in here that probably have COVID? Do you realize how many people have touched the produce you're going to touch? Do you realize how many people sneezed and coughed? Do you realize that the snot, no, I'm just not being gross, and all that stuff that comes from COVID stays in the air for over like almost 24 hours or something? Do you realize all this, man? Oh, I didn't think about that. But yet you can only get COVID. I said, I'm not trying to get off on all that. But my point is this. You know what? Let me tell you something. People are more scared to change in the spiritual than they are in the carnal. I'll go to Walmart, but I won't go to church. I'll sit in church, but I won't get baptized in the name of Jesus because I'm good. I'm already, honey, I'm telling you, it changed my life. Repentance. And you know what I know? Let me tell you something. I've said this before, and I'm done preaching right now. You know how, you know when God changed me? When I spoke in tongues and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know how I know, Valerie? Because when I was just a church person coming to church, oh, I'm good. I don't believe in all that. That's what the devil wants. Because if he can keep the Holy Ghost out, you know how I knew there had to be a Holy Ghost? You know how I knew it was real even when I walked into your church? When I saw you guys speaking in tongues, I thought you were nutty, I thought you were crazy, and downright weird. And those are nice words. But I knew it was real. You know how I knew it was real? Because I'd been in the demonic side, and I've seen demons called up. I'd been in bonfires when they thought that with the veil of the between the living and the dead was the thinnest. And literally all that was happening was those are spirits that were talking to us. Those weren't humans. There has to be demonic spirits. Why would there be bad without good? So there has to be something on the other side, but I never experienced it. But God has a sense of humor. I'd always said, there's got to be something good if there's always bad. I always knew that. God sends somebody, not just a church person, but a Holy Ghost tongue-talking person. Invite me to church. I come to one of your churches. I knew you tongue-talkers were real. I didn't get it for over 6 months. I kept seeking and kept seeking, but God said, until you repent. And I went up there and I repented of my sins and asked God to forgive me and lifted up my hands. I began to speak in other tongues. And that is the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is a spirit that can conquer the spirit that can come against you. And my mom had no power over me because when I say the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. When I say the name of Jesus, every stronghold has to flee. When I say the name of Jesus, I have the power to praise, to worship. I got a power to give God glory. That's why I know it's real. Joseph, he had to have change. We don't just need a religious get together. Demonic world is at hand. You could scream and yell about everything else, but let the Holy Ghost come out of you. It's a gift from heaven that would change your life because you use your tongue to cuss, you use your tongue to lie, you use your tongue to sin, you use your tongue to eat, you use your tongue for everything in the flesh, and the devil loves that. But when you use your tongue to speak in a heavenly tongue, you've got authority and dominion over everything, over every stronghold, over every adversary. When I begin to pray and worship, the name of Jesus takes dominion. And people have gotten away from that. We wonder why the world's gotten worse. If you need something from God right now, lift up one hand across this building right now. You need God to answer some kind of prayer in your life. Hold up one hand across this building. You need God to answer some kind of prayer.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.